We are in Job chapter 32, verse 1. And this is our 16th study in the book of Job. Father, we ask that you would add your blessing to the word that we're about to study. In Jesus' name, amen. Elihu, the fourth speaker, rebukes Job's friends, and he will rebuke Job too in a few minutes. But let's begin in chapter 32 of Job, verse 1. So these three men ceased to answer Job because he was righteous in his own eyes. The three friends of Job did their best to blast Job into a world of guilt, but Job would not be blasted. They made some long speeches, and they did a lot of speculating, but none of them could prove that Job was guilty, and that is why he was suffering all these terrible things. So Job, at least in his own eyes, remained righteous in spite of all of their efforts. 2. Then Elihu, the son of Barachel, the Buzite, of the family of Ram, became angry. He was angry at Job because he justified himself rather than God. Job had faced off with God. Now that doesn't take courage. That takes stupidity. And Job had put his righteousness up against God's. And that is just craziness. Elihu heard it all, and he was angry. 3. He was angry also at Job's three friends, because they had found no answer, although they had declared Job to be in the wrong. Elihu was also angry at Job's three friends. That's because they condemned Job, but they didn't have any proof of Job's guilt. Verse 4. Now Elihu had waited to speak to Job because they were older than he. You know, I read this and I realize that we've lost something in this country. Back in those days, there was a natural respect for older people. Back then, children and teens or young adults would never interrupt an older person. Verse 5. And when Elihu saw that there was no answer in the mouth of these three men, he became angry. Age doesn't always indicate wisdom. A young person who knows the word of God has a lot more wisdom than a very gray-headed person who seldom, if ever, read the Bible. 6. And Elihu, the son of Barachel, the Buzite, answered, I am young in years, and you are aged. Therefore I was timid and afraid to declare my opinion to you. I said, let days speak, and many years teach wisdom. But it is the spirit in a man, the breath of the Almighty, that makes him understand. No one but the Holy Spirit can give wisdom to a person. In other words, there's only one source of authority, one source of wisdom, and that is the Holy Word of God. The person who knows it, that is the Word of God, and can quote it and apply it, is worth listening to no matter what age they may be. Verse 9. It is not the old that are wise, nor the aged that understand what is right. When my son was 8 years old, I heard him speak the Word of God in such an honest, innocent way, and in the process put an adult who was in the flesh to put that adult to shame. So you see, it isn't how old or how young you are that matters. It it's how much of the word that you have in you that matters. 10, therefore I say, listen to me. Let me also declare my opinion. Behold, I waited for your words. I listened for your wise sayings while you searched out what to say. I gave you my attention, and behold, there was none that confuted Job, or that answered his words among you. Elihu was no brash kid. He respectfully listened to these older men and did not say a word. He honestly believed that they would say something that would make sense, but they didn't. 13. Beware lest you say, we have found wisdom. God may vanquish him, not man. Nothing those three men said touched Job. Job was self-righteous and he was prideful. 14. He has not directed his words against me, and I will not answer him with your speeches. He says, you guys haven't got to the root of Job's problem. Then Elihu says, Job hasn't contended with me yet, and you can bet that I won't be using your arguments when I state my case. 15. They are discomfited. They answer no more. They have not a word to say. And shall I wait because they do not speak? Because they stand there and answer no more? I also will give my answer. I also will declare my opinion, for I am full of words. The spirit within me constrains me. Behold, my heart is like wine that has no vent. Like new wineskins, it is ready to burst. I must speak, that I may find relief. I must open my lips and answer. Eliphaz has a lot to say, and he has been having trouble holding it in. And that's why he's not going to hold it in anymore. It's perfectly fine to speak your mind as long as you know what you're talking about and as long as your words are under the direction of God. Because if those two things aren't true, it's just going to cause more trouble. 21. I will not show partiality to any person or use flattery toward any man, for I do not know how to flatter, else would my maker soon put an end to me. Elihu says that he's going to give it straight. No flattery, no beating around the bush. And you know what? A little plain talk never hurt anyone. Plain talk from the Word of God, that is. Chapter 33, verse 1. But now, hear my speech, O Job, and listen to all my words. Behold, I open my mouth. The tongue of my mouth speaks. And I would like to tell Elihu, you know, we get the picture. You have something to say, Elihu. We understand that. Would you please just quit talking about how you're going to say it and just say it? 3. He goes on, my words declare the uprightness of my heart, and what my lips know, they speak sincerely. The Spirit of God has made me, and the breath of the Almighty gives me life. Elihu is going to speak what he knows, and he is going to be very dogmatic about it. Verse 5, answer me, if you can. Set your words in order before me. Take your stand. Behold, I am toward God as you are. I too was formed from a piece of clay. Elihu says, Job, I'm the one you've been looking for. He's saying, I meet your qualifications for a mediator. See, you remember, Job had longed for a go-between between him and God. And Elihu says, I'm your man. Well, you know, it's nice that Elihu wanted to do that, but he cannot do that. Elihu is a sinner, just like Job. He can identify with sinful man because he is one, but he can't identify with God because he's not God. It takes a God-man to be a mediator between God and man, and there's only one of them, Jesus. 7. Behold, no fear of me need terrify you. My pressure will not be heavy upon you. Surely you have spoken in my hearing, and I have heard the sound of your words. You say I am clean, without transgression. I am pure, and there is no iniquity in me. Elihu had been listening to Job all along. He's heard Job talk about how righteous he is and how unfair God is. Verse 10. Behold, he finds occasions against me. He counts me as his enemy. He puts my feet in the stocks and watches all my paths. Behold, in this you are not right. I will answer you, God is greater than man. In other words, don't blame God for doing something that he hasn't done. God is greater than man. That's a good thing for us to remember. Job talked out of turn. He talked as if he knew something when he didn't really know it at all. Verse 13. Why do you contend against him, saying, he will answer none of my words? No one has a right to complain to God. Some people ask God, why? Why? Why are things this way? Why are things that way? And God doesn't answer. Then they get frustrated and they get angry. God doesn't have to respond to you or to anyone else. He is not accountable to you or anyone else. 14. For God speaks in one way and in two, though man does not perceive it. In a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falls upon man, while they slumber on their beds. Of course, God's complete revelation is in this book, the Bible. But this book is filled with examples of God talking to people through dreams. God sometimes talks to his people through dreams. He talks to us through nature, but like anything else, those other things must be measured by Scripture. 16. Then he opens the ears of man and terrifies them with warnings, that he may turn man aside from his deed and cut off pride from man. Now, I don't know how and when God deals with you, but he seems to get my attention the best at about 2 in the morning. Wakes me up out of sleep. I suppose I'm quiet enough then, and my mind isn't busy, so he can get through to me a little easier. And he does. He has many times. 8. I thank God for the chain that he has around my neck. It's not much fun to get yanked back onto his path when I wander off a little bit, but it sure beats the alternative, which could be an early grave or a ruined life. 19. Man is also chastened with pain upon his bed, and with continual strife in his bones, so that his life loathes bread, and his appetite dainty food. His flesh is so wasted away that it cannot be seen, and his bones, which were not seen, stick out. His soul draws near the pit, and his life to those who bring death. If there be for him an angel, a mediator, one of the thousand, to declare to man what is right for him, and he is gracious to him, and says, deliver him from going down into the pit, I have found a ransom. Let his flesh become fresh with youth. Let him return to the days of his youthful vigor. Then man prays to God, and he accepts him. He comes into his presence with joy. He recounts to men his salvation, and he sings before men and says, "I sinned and perverted what was right, and it was not requited to me. He has redeemed my soul from going down to the pit, and my life shall see the light." Behold, God does all these things twice, three times with a man, to bring back his soul from the pit, that he may see the light of life. Some of us never were too good at learning. Some of us only learn in a milu. We don't really understand that lightning hurts until we get struck by it. It almost seems that some of us are such slow learners that that's the only way we learn. God knows how to teach Christians like that. He has a whole warehouse full of lightning bolts of all different sizes and shapes for people like that. In other words, if the only way we can learn is through discipline, then God can handle that. And he will too. 31. Give heed, O Job. Listen to me. Be silent and I will speak. If you have anything to say, answer me. Speak, for I desire to justify you. If not, listen to me. Be silent, and I will teach you wisdom. As far as Job is concerned, Elihu might as well be talking to the wall. Job has made his speech to God. He has said all he's going to say. Job has rested his case, and he's waiting for God's response. All Job's interested in is either a thumbs up or a thumbs down from God. Elihu's words are irrelevant. Even though Elihu thinks they're worth their weight in gold. One of the most sickening things to a man who knows and loves and communicates with the living God is some poor, pathetic, rueful human being who's so arrogant that they think that they can speak for God on your behalf and tell you what is right for you. I'm not talking about using the pure word of God to correct somebody. I'm talking about somebody who thinks they have the mind of God about issues that are not clear in Scripture, and then is arrogant enough to think that they can direct another Christian into what they should do in God's leading for them. But we'll pick up our study next time in chapter 34, verse 1. Until then, so long.